Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
From the shores of Malibu, where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China, and back to the streets of Las Vegas, where the UFC is coming, we are live. This is It's Time Radio, the show where we talk about what you think about, but may be afraid to voice. Do not worry. We will voice it for you. We talk about everything on It's Time. UFC, film, radio, TV, politics, sex, drugs, rock and roll. It's no holds barred radio, folks. And I'm here today with my partner and co-host TJ DeSantis. TJ, what a week. We got a lot to talk about here. It's going to be you and me today. No guests needed because there's a lot of interesting subjects that I want to go over with you personally and hear your feedback. Sound good?
Yeah. I mean, Bruce Buffer as seen on Monday Night Football.
Wow. I know. But let's start off the way it really started. Sunday night, Michael Buffer. As seen on Sunday Night Football, opening up for the Rams at the brand new multi-billion dollar SoFi Stadium. What a stadium that is. It's incredible.
It looks like a spaceship.
It does look like a spaceship. It's actually 20 minutes away from my home here, you know, near the beach where I live.
Yeah.
It's just right down a shot. I actually wanted to appear for the Rams, but I had the pleasure of appearing for a team I've been a fan for all the years. I think a lot of people in some way are Raider fans, but I appeared for the Raiders on Monday Night Football, and TJ, I've done a lot of great things in my life, had a lot of bucket list experiences, but I have to tell you, this is definitely a bucket list experience.
I mean, you opened up a stadium, essentially.
Yeah, a stadium, the brand new season for the Vegas Raiders. Obviously, their second season, but their first season at the stadium right. In Vegas, which cost, yeah. What I understand, cost $1.8 or $1.9 billion to
$1.99, just about $2 billion, I think, when it's all said and done.
Yeah, all said and done. And then the SoFi Stadium had to be even more expensive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Real quick, may I just say this? I think this is, you know, the first of at least a couple appearances for yourself in that new stadium in Las Vegas. They're going to do a UFC in there at some point. I really believe that.
Well, even before the UFC gets there, which at some point it should, there's no question.
Yeah.
It just seems to be in a bucket list or just to be in the future and destined to happen. But I will be back for the Raiders. Here's the thing. I have teams that I could I could approach and appear for or have approach me.
Right.
It was an honor to have the Raiders call me in, and I'm going to stick with them all through the season. We all know I'm a Philadelphia Eagle fan. You know, that's my hometown.
Right. But they're at least in a different conference. They're in the NFC.
Yeah, you know, they're in
Raiders,
the NFC.
AFC, so.
It's okay, but the Raiders are going to play the Philadelphia Eagles in a few weeks at Allegiant Stadium. So.
Okay, well, you're going to be torn then, I guess.
I think I actually might have a UFC the night before, so I plan on going to the game if that's the case. But I have I have so much to figure out. I get back after 2 days, and I got 3,000 emails trying to figure everything out. That's one thing I definitely want to figure out, because if I'm there, I'm going to go to the game. But I am going to come back and appear for them on their Sunday Night Football game. And it was really cool because I brought Henry with me, right? My godson.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw the photos.
And it was an amazing experience. As a matter of fact, the funny thing was is that Henry's in school, right?
Right.
You go to school. You don't go to school if you're sick, right?
Right, yeah.
Would you believe the principal was so excited for him to go with me and have that experience as a 16-year-old young man, which is an experience that I think for any 16-year-old or any young kid, man, you know, boy or girl, who's a football fan would love to go. But
that's an experience for a human being, my goodness.
Yeah, it's an experience for a human being. So basically we flew in together. We immediately went right to the stadium because the game was only 4 hours later. We're in a beautiful green room. Steve Aoki was appearing with me. He came in with his crew. Henry got to experience all the pregame things that happened, the attention and the protocol that Steve and I have to go through or anybody would go through that's appearing for a team like that.
Right.
And he had basically acted as my assistant, and he was just a upstanding, the handsome, upstanding, young, polite young man that he is, and it just really made me my heart so warm for him to be there with me. It was a great experience for me too.
That's a better learning experience than anything he's going to get for that one day in the classroom as well. And it's got to be, you know, motivating for him too, to maybe potentially, you know, maybe not follow in your exact footsteps, but if he was, you know, intrigued and interested in that type of, you know, night out and in work, then maybe he gets into that business. But one thing that I will say, and I think that educators especially need to sort of be more open-minded, is to the experience that you get in these once-in-a-lifetime experiences, because a night like that can change your life forever, honestly.
Yes. And I would hope that it possibly could, because I'll tell you a couple of experiences he had. First off, he interacted with, again, the Raiders people, the head management of the Raiders. We went back in the studio the very next day to film a bunch of videos and audios to be used throughout the season for all their home games, which, you know, pretty excited about. He got to see how I work in that atmosphere. He got to see how I work in the live atmosphere. He got to see 70,000, whatever it is, fans going crazy when I walked out, which blew me away. It blew me away.
You owned that spotlight too, Bruce. I mean, that is, I mean, don't get me wrong. You always handle yourself well in those moments, but it's a much different sort of atmosphere when you think about it compared to being, you know, inside the octagon. You're up on the concourse there. You know, you have to sort of have a different presence, I think, in that moment compared to when you're in the middle of the arena and all eyes are on you. I think you almost have to you step outside your comfort zone to a certain extent to be more commanding of the attention, because again, you're tucked off to the side. Granted, you were on the big screen and obviously on television they were focused on you, but it's different than when you're in the center of the action, per se.
It's a lot different. I mean, I was up top overlooking 70,000, mm-hmm. whatever it is, fans of the Raider fans that were there.
What was that energy like?
Incredible. It was amazing. Yeah. And you know what the cool thing was, is that the Raiders felt that the Steve Aoki song that we did together, that we produced and wrote together, the It's Time song, the Raiders said it epitomizes their team and who they are. So they're using, they've licensed usage of the song throughout the season.
That's great.
And of course they wanted me to announce, but then they thought how great it would be for Steve to be with me. And I thought the combination of, you know, let's face it, he's the master DJ traveling the world doing his thing.
Yeah.
And I've appeared with Steve New Year's Eve at Hakkasan. I've appeared with him with Celine Dion. I've appeared with him with other people. We've had a lot of experiences together. And this was both of us looking at each other saying, hey, this is a bucket list fulfilled. Now, coming from me, that's a big statement. But I think coming from Steve, it's a huge statement. So let's face it, it's a big statement and it's a bucket list. And I'm like a kid in a candy store. It's not about the check. And yes, I'll cash that check. It's about the experience. And
and how cool is it? Because like you said, you've appeared with him at Hakkasan. Like, I understand you're an Eagles fan. You're also a Southern California resident,
right?
But you're Vegas. You know what I mean? You're part of that Vegas experience, as is Steve. And I can't think of two better people to sort of set the energy and tone for the Raiders in this, you know, Monday night game, like you guys did. Like, it's the best pick. I don't think they could have, you know, gone a better direction, to be honest with you.
Well, you sound like you just created the boardroom conversation the Raiders had when they made the decision. So it's all good.
It's a no-brainer, though. Really, it is.
Here's the best part, okay? And let me get back to Henry again.
Yeah.
We have a young man trying to decide what he wants to do with his life.
Right. And this is the most important time of his life to figure that out, too.
It is an important time, but at the same time, we have a situation here where we have a young man who's been under COVID, as everybody else has, for 2 years, which has changed his life, as it's changed all of our lives. Change the ability to have the experiences we discussed on the show many times that kids at 16, 14, 15, whatever are going through.
Yep.
Home looking at a screen until they could go to school, COVID protocol. It's very hard to decide what you want to do in the world. You're not having any experiences outside your family.
It's hard to even feel like the world's a real place when everything is so, you know, disconnected to a certain extent.
That is correct. So with that being said, you know, here he is. He saw the way I interact with the people I do business with. He saw the people doing jobs in sports. He had a chance to meet one of the head people of a company called Switch, if I'm not mistaken, that basically is in the gaming industry, right?
Okay.
Something he loves.
Right.
And he made a connection. And I, you know, I'm teaching him, like, that's how you build, that you make connections. That's how
networking.
You find your networking. So he got the experience to network. He met Michael Phelps. He met Dana White. They both, Lorenzo Fertitta, they took time with him. They spoke to him. Aoki and his crew. It's like this, I was living this experience, not just through my eyes. I was living it through my amazing, handsome godson's eyes.
Yeah.
At 6'5", or 6'3", rather. And I remember when Dana saw him, he's like, what kind of sports do you play? Henry says, soccer. Now, we all know what we all know Dana White in the past, what he said about soccer, but I know he respects soccer, because you got to respect soccer. Great sport. But Dana looked at him. He looked at the 6'3 physical specimen at 16. Right. Is like, you could do so many different sports. You know, you're a specimen, which I really loved hearing that in the words that Dana put it in, because he was paying a compliment to Henry. And whenever Henry lit up, I lit up. Now, you as a father understand what I'm talking about. As I'm sure all fathers and mothers out there listening to us understand, we love to live through our children's siblings, whatever odds.
Right.
You know,
you want their life to be better than yours.
Yes.
And when you can facilitate that, it just makes you feel like you're doing your part. And that's pretty amazing.
Exactly. And getting back to the Raider game, it was an amazing experience when it was all over. I got to tell you, out of all the different things that I've done outside the UFC and in the UFC, my phone, my email, my social media just lit up.
Bruce, like, I'm the producer of your podcast. We're linked. People that I know were hitting me up going, oh, my God, that was so cool. Did you see Bruce?
It's like,
I'm not Bruce. Like, I appreciate the text messages. But, like, that's how crazy people were sort of fired up for it. The people that, you know me by association through this show are hitting me up going, how cool was that?
No, it's very cool.
By the way, beautiful suit. I really like the colors of that suit. That was the perfect choice for that occasion.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think Raiders, it's silver and black, right? Now, there was some blue in the suit, but I'm sure it looked black on TV. But, I picked a good one. They were very happy with it, too. Now, here's the other thing, too. I've had Michael appear for many NFL teams, as he did for the Rams that night, who won, and was great for them that they won. And it was great for the Raiders and for me that they won, because NFL teams are very superstitious.
Oh, yeah.
Had they lost that night, I might not have got called back, even though they said they want me to be exclusive through the season. But I know reality, right?
And they got shut out, you know, lose 41-0. Like, it's not time anymore.
It's not time anymore. And I probably would be the first one to tell them that, too, to be honest with you.
Right.
But now I've got power and fodder to listen, they're all excited. They're like kids in a candy store. They're very excited about the whole thing. But the amazing thing on the game is it was a really good game, as was the Rams game. It went into overtime, right? And the decisive game-changing play, and pardon me, I forget the player's name, but the Raider player who came out as being gay a few weeks ago was the one to make the changing play in the game, and he got big publicity for it, which I thought was fantastic, you know? And even when I was talking to the management, I go, yeah, that was great, because, you know, they're so, as they should be, supportive of him. Right. And here we.
It feels like all things happen for a reason, right?
Yeah, it was like that.
That's almost one of those movies, like it's written that way to play out that way. And no, it's a night that everyone's going to remember for many years to come. Honestly, Bruce, because again, for all intents and purposes, you opened up that building. Yes, it's their second season, but it's the first sort of one that really counted with people there, and I mean, I don't want to say that, you know, you're going to be brought back only because of superstition and good luck, but, you killed it, and you definitely have some momentum on your side, and, I think you're going to be a staple there.
I love it, and that's the word I got. So I love it. I'm happy. I'm a kid in candy store. Bucket list fulfilled. Onward and upward, and congratulations to my big brother, Michael Buffer. I thought he did a great job with the Rams game. And what was really cool, too, is that on ESPN, whether it was Al Michaels, whoever said it, he said, it's been a busy weekend for the Buffer boys.
Yeah.
Couldn't have put it any better.
And, And that's the thing, too. Like, both of you guys are very different from one another in your styles, but both work very well. And that's one thing that I think we're starting to see in stick and ball sports is the recognition of what someone like you or Michael can do to sort of blend the worlds of combat sports and, you know, traditional stick and ball sports. And, you know, a ring announcer or an octagon announcer, in your case, it works in football much more than you think it would. And it's pretty special to sit back and see you spread your wings that way. And like I said, I think it's going to be, you know, the first of, not even the first, because you did Sunday Night Football in tape form. I think it was like 2 years ago. Yeah. And, you know, yeah, like this is like football's not new for you by any means. No, no. But, you know, I think that the Raiders got something special in you. And I think they're going to hold on to that as long as they can.
Love it. Very excited about it. Henry came home with a Raider helmet. They made a jersey for him with his name
How
and
great
his number
is that?
On it.
So now he's a Raider fan.
I would think the experience is going to push him that way. Of course, you know, Rams is the local team, but you know what? It was just, again, an experience he'll never forget. It's all
if the Rams want to try to get him on their side, they're going to have to one-up the Raiders. This is how things work. You know, this is economy.
We'll see. You know, in the past, I did the Videotron intros for the Washington, well, now they're the Washington football team.
Yeah, right.
But at the time, they were the Redskins. You know, I've worked in hockey, baseball, you know, first pitch at the Dodger game, announced the Dodger. I've had all these great experiences. This in sports.
Because it works. It works.
But this one in sports, and not counting my Super Bowl commercial, because that's a commercial. That's not appearance in sports team.
Right.
But this in sports overrides all except my beloved UFC. Okay.
Right. And that's a different thing altogether. But no, I like the idea of using you in this environment and yeah, we'll see where it goes from here. But great job. You did exactly what you needed to do.
Thank you. Thank you. Mission accomplished. And there's a couple other big announcements coming up. And again, I can't tell you about them.
Right.
So we'll just keep that rolling.
Well, you teased us with this Monday night one for forever.
I
think
had
some
to.
People put it together, but well worth the wait.
I had to. All right. Before we start the show again, as we've already started the show, I want to thank my sponsors, Puncher's Chance.
Beautiful bottle.
Beautiful bottle. 3 gold medals for taste, 3 gold medals for bottle design. They considered the finest tasting, highest rated craft distilled and distributed bourbon new in America today. Knocking down the doors, folks, knocking down the doors. It's Time Energy for our UK fans. Please go to itstimeenergy.com, enter the contest to win fight cards, official fight cards, framed beautifully. I think the way they frame them, the value on just the frame and the card is probably in the area of $1,000 just for this one prize you can win, of which there's 12 I think they're giving away.
No brainer. Sign up.
No brainer. Itstimeenergy.com, which will be available on Amazon in the United States to start until we hit all the retail stores available, and that will be coming by the end of October, and I'll make that announcement coming up.
That's great.
Want to thank FanDuel Sportsbook, our other sponsor of the show. Want to bet? Want to do fantasy football? FanDuel Sportsbook. That's the place to be. I'm happy to be an ambassador for FanDuel, and that's going to be a long-term relationship going on forward. I want to take a moment here to send my condolences and best wishes to the family of a friend of mine who just passed away at a very young age of 61, comedian Norm Macdonald. Norm Macdonald's been battling cancer for many years, finally succumbed to cancer in his long battle fight. Norm, a pleasure to know you, laugh with you, and play poker with you, and all the things that we have done over the years together. And I may you rest in peace, my friend. I must say that, TJ. I have to bring that up.
Yeah, no. I mean, a lot of people, I mean, I didn't know that he was having that battle. You know what I mean?
Well, he kept it under wraps. He didn't make it public.
Yeah, so it was a bit shocking for me to hear that news, but, you know, very sad. I was a fan, big fan.
Yeah, definitely. All right, we're going to go into the news here. Is there anything you wanted to talk about before we go into the news? Did we have a couple other things or no?
I mean, you know, aside from, you know, probably current events that we'll probably get to, if you miss anything, I'll bring it up at the end of the show.
You got it. That's why you're my partner. That's why you're my producer. Here we go. Okay, TJ, this is a disgusting story. I wasn't aware that this actually takes place, but 1,400 dolphins were killed in the Faroe Islands in one day. Even shocking some pro-whalers that are out there killing whales. It was denounced by a marine conservation group called Sea Shepherd as a brutal and badly handled. It was the largest single hunt in the Danish territory's history. I mean, in this day and age, I can't even fathom this.
What are they killing them for? Food?
According to the organization, a super pod, as they call it, of 1,428 Atlantic white-sided dolphins. Beautiful, beautiful animal. Because they are
intelligent.
Extremely.
I mean, that's the problem with, I think, you know, the idea of eating a dolphin. Like, they're intelligent creatures. Not that we should only eat things that are dumb, but, like, there's a connection. There's a human connection between man and dolphin. Like, if you've interacted with a dolphin, which I'm sure you have out there surfing.
Mm-hmm. Many times.
Once you have that experience, I don't know how you could ever contemplate eating one of those animals.
I've had dolphins swim around me when I'm surfing. I've had them come up and talk.
Because they're friendly.
They're friendly. And one thing about dolphins, when you're a surfer in the water and dolphins around, you know there's no sharks. So it's right. Like, yeah, come swim around me all you want.
Exactly.
Well, the whaler people were even criticizing him. And again, I can't get to the bottom of how this happened, but supposedly, you know, when they had this, they were corralled by speedboats and jet skis on what they call Skalabatnur Beach on the island of Eysturoy. I have no idea, you know,
so,
where these are.
It's interesting, too, because not a lot of countries that actually like eat and consume dolphin are even upfront about it. A lot of the dolphin meat is repackaged and sold as something else.
I wasn't even aware people eat dolphin.
Yeah. Like, again, it's not something that is widely talked about or, you know, there's socially, you know, not ambiguous, but like it's sort of frowned upon. And there's a fantastic documentary called The Cove. It's very hard to watch because they show one of these kills where they, you know, herd these dolphins into this little cove. And I mean, Bruce, they kill so many that the water is red. It's a sea of blood. And, you know, the people in Japan where this takes place, they eat dolphin and they don't know that it's actually dolphin meat. A lot of that dolphin that is taken from the hunt is actually repackaged as lunches for kids in school. And it's sold off as just generic fish. So, I don't know. I don't understand why at this point we're eating dolphin. Anybody wants to eat dolphin? But again, I think that a lot of people just don't even know they're doing it.
I didn't know. And I wasn't aware that this is a practice that actually happens each year. I mean, the people involved in killing must complete a pilot whaling course. And the hunting of white-sided dolphins is a sustainable practice in this process with a yearly number of around 250 that get killed. This was six times as large.
Right.
And as a result,
that's going to impact nature.
Totally. And as a result, the whaling people were calling them out for accountability, confirming there were not enough killers involved because the dolphins were struggling for breath on the beach until they were killed. There were not enough people on the beach available on shore to kill them. I mean, as I read this, terrible. It's just terrible on so many counts. Now, if you can tell me why this has to be done, is it overbreeding? It doesn't need to be done.
No, I mean, it seems pointless to me. The whole, and again, I know they're mammals and not, you know, fish per se, but the fishing industry is actually pretty bad. There's a fantastic documentary on Netflix. I can't remember what it's called. But, you know, we've talked a lot about the plastic pollution inside the ocean, and there's like a island of plastic and whatnot. That's concerning. But when you look at like what the fishing industry has done to the ocean, the fishing industry is much worse than human pollution when it comes to just plastic bottles and things like that in the ocean. And like, I'm not saying that, you know, we should stop eating fish. If you like to eat fish, that's fine. But, you know, we've talked in the past about how polluted the water is and, you know, the mercury levels inside the fish. Like, it's an industry and a practice that it's really not that beneficial for people anymore, because sustaining yourself on fish, not that most healthy thing in the world. And, you know, going out and harvesting those fish, pretty bad for the world as a whole when it comes to the environment as well.
Well, who knows what the future holds when you talk about the mercury and everything building up. There could be a time we're not allowed to eat fish, you know, depending where it's coming from.
I think some health officials will advise you to reconsider the consumption of fish, especially salmon. Like, salmon
farm salmon.
Right, but again, like, it's salmon there that is farmed. Yes, that's isolated now, but there's also a lot of things that are, I mean, fish now from the ocean, not as good as it was 20 years ago. That's safe to say.
No, you guarantee that. But also, when I say, like, when I go to a restaurant, and salmon's my favorite fish, when I order salmon, I say, is it farmed or is it, you know, wild salmon. But then again, you read stories, as we've talked about on the show in the past, where the region in Alaska where wild salmon comes from, in one key area that supports a lot of the world, they found cocaine, traces of cocaine in the salmon. So it's like,
Well, I remember when Japan got hit with that earthquake.
Yeah.
And they had there were radiation levels.
Radiation levels, exactly.
In the fish.
And they migrate elsewhere. So,
right.
All right. There's our story for today. Disgusting story. And I can't even condone it. There's no way I can wrap my mind around this.
Well, it's something that, like, generally you hear things about that with the dolphins. And you're like, okay, it's a cultural thing. Maybe I just don't understand.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, like I said, in 2021, there's not many cultures that are really willing to own up to eating and consuming dolphin. It's taboo for pretty much everyone.
I agree. Let's go into another subject here, and it's not a positive one. We all know the homeless situation is horrible here in California. It's horrible in Orange County. It's horrible in LA County. We had Sheriff Villanueva on the show. We talked about, 80,000 homeless, 15,000 out of the state. They're moving the homeless out of Venice, California, at the beach was a big problem here. And of course, where are they going to go? They're going to migrate to other areas. They're migrating to areas around where I live, other places. Granted, I'm sympathetic, you know, but I'm not sympathetic when I read stuff like this. Malibu. This is where we're going. Malibu. Okay.
Yep.
Clear beach, the whole bit, vacation community, whatever.
One of the best places in the state.
There's a place there called Dam Blocker Beach. Okay.
Okay.
So a week ago or so, a man with four family members was approached by, he's on the beach, enjoying his beach with his family and his wife and his kids. Okay. Two homeless men confronted the father, right? And saying they were not allowed in the area. A homeless people telling the family they weren't allowed in the area, sparking an argument amongst the father and the two people. So one of the homeless people, and they've already arrested both of them, whips out a machete, starts slashing at the dad multiple times, cutting his arms and other areas, and taking out his eye. Okay?
No.
He lost one eye. The other homeless guy, because he got cuts across the face, the other homeless guy chased down the wife and the kids, right?
What is happening?
They've arrested both of them. You're in Malibu. I don't care where you're at. You're on the beach.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't compute. It doesn't compute.
Bruce, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that there's ever any case that would justify that. But I feel like there's got to be something more to the story than homeless people tell a family you can't go to the beach. Like, I'm hoping that there's more to the story that makes it make more sense. But I don't think anything can make this make sense, honestly.
No. And we'll leave that story alone. Homeless is a big problem, a big situation. Of course, I'd love to see him taken care of. Not everybody's a good homeless person. Let's put it that way. Okay.
Well, I mean, I think it comes back to something that we talked about with the sheriff. A lot of it has to do with mental illness.
Oh, yeah.
And those people need, to find a support system that prevents them from being in these situations. Because obviously, you know, when you're mentally ill or unstable, you're not only a danger to yourself, but obviously others. And it's a slippery slope in how to handle it. But something needs to be done for sure.
For sure. I'm going to give you one other homeless story that happened right down the street from my house. Okay, there's a market here. There's a Starbucks next to Bristol Farms, you know, a few miles away from me.
Right.
So it's where I shop. So there was a homeless person, a kid, 20-something, young 20-something. And a local resident here took a liking to him, you know, talking to him, helping him out. Kid saying he wants to find a job, whatever. The resident here opened up a GoFundMe and raised $20,000 for him.
Wow.
And also got a bunch of job interviews for him. Right?
Right.
So the homeless kid went out. He bought a truck.
Okay.
He failed to show up at any of the job interviews. And the corner where he was living in a tent, now he's living there in a brand new truck that the GoFundMe bought him. Hasn't left. And still staying homeless. Where do you draw the line?
Where do you draw the line? I mean, here's the thing. It's still a great gesture in offering and show of support from that citizen to do that.
Yeah.
And I don't think that the lack of making the most of that opportunity should take away from the acknowledgement that that person deserves, and trying to foster an opportunity for this gentleman. But, that's the issue here. And it goes to the larger problem. This person is homeless because of either something that he can't control or something that he can and chooses to not, try to better his situation in life. And that's unfortunate.
Well, one thing to be fortunate is if they were getting jobs working in the construction industry, maybe they would happen onto something to help them that I'm about to read to you here. But in France, was another story I read about a year ago when people were cleaning out their attic in France and they found some very expensive painting. But builders who are building in northwestern France. They're rebuilding a manor that was there. And while they're in the process of construction, they found 239 gold coins valued at $356,000. Isn't that amazing? I mean, my question is, what do they do with the coins? What do they do? You know,
that yeah, I
they were minted. I don't know. They were minted during Louis the Eighth and Louis the
XIV.
Okay, incredible.
Think about this, and that's just one of many of these hidden treasures that are just all around us.
All like,
who
around
knows what's
us.
In the, you know, your neighbor's attic? Like that stuff is there, and there's a lot of stuff that's hidden. You know what I mean? Oh. A lot of people in those older houses, you know, did hide stuff in floorboards and things like that.
Yep.
So it's like. You always wonder, you know, have I walked by something that's worth hundreds of thousands of dollars multiple times and never knew it was there?
Never knew. I know in my collecting days, my dad met people pulling out. I remember one time I went to a garage sale and my dad bought a Walther PPK, the James Bond gun, right?
Right.
So paid like $750 for it. And on the side, there was an engraving. And I'm not proud of this. But the name was H. Himmler, Heinrich Himmler.
Oh, my God.
That gun eventually wound up selling for $45,000, $50,000. It's probably valued at about $250,000 or more now, but it wound up getting resold.
We've talked about, you know, that era of, you know, artillery and war memorabilia. Like, I never would really want to own anything from that side, but...
Well, you don't own anything from the genocide, you know, the...
Right. But this is bad vibes
bad
or something
vibes,
like
all
that.
Bad all that.
But, you know, I mean, that's crazy. Like, it's just, again, you stumble across something that you don't even totally know what it is, and, you know... Like you say, you're a collector. You always got to be on the hunt and prowl and pay attention because you never know what might present itself to you out of the blue.
If you're going to collect, you need to know everything there is to about what you're collecting, right?
Right.
Then they go to the opposite end of a collectible like the BMW that Tupac was shot and killed in.
Yeah.
They're trying to sell that for nearly $2 million, but it's not selling for the price they want, but they put it out for $2 million. Right.
Again, that's not nearly as grim as, you know, the Holocaust and things like that. But I'm just saying, Bruce, like, I don't think I would want that. Like, that's got a bad energy.
No, that's a collectible I'd have no interest in. I mean, there's always somebody interested in something.
Like, but to me, that makes sense. Like, if you have a museum, you know what I mean? Put that in the museum and try to pay homage that way. But if you're a private collector, that just seems like, what do? You show your buddies like, hey, you want to see where Tupac was murdered?
Well, then you got the other end of the coin. Like, I love dinosaurs, and I've always loved dinosaur skeletons. And you know what a triceratops is, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. Well, the skeleton of the world's largest triceratops, they're expecting to fetch $1.4 million at auction. Now, how cool would it be to have that? Okay.
And that's something that, like, I can see why it would be priced that high.
Yeah.
Because, again, like, how hard is it to even fathom how old something like that is. You know what I mean? Like, you and I, like, we hope to make it to 90 or 100 years old. Think about something that's, like, literally millions of years old. That's crazy.
That's crazy. It's totally crazy. All right, let's go over to the sports area a little bit now here. In the NFL last weekend, the teams that look really strong, from what I saw, I mean, Brady and the Bucks, Brady. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what to even think about Tom Brady anymore.
Just put an S on his chest. I don't know what else to say.
Seriously.
Yeah, seriously. It's like incredible. The Eagles looked awesome on Sunday. One of the more powerful teams. They looked really, really strong. The Saints looked strong. What happened to the Green Bay Packers? Wow.
The NFC North is terrible.
Oh, my gosh.
It's absolutely terrible. I think every NFC North team lost. So
yeah. The
whole entire division is tied for first place with an 0-1 record.
Well, it's the first game of the season. You know, we're all going to get caught up in it. I'll start giving...
People were accusing Aaron Rodgers of taking a dive, Bruce.
Well, Aaron Rodgers came out and claimed that the Saints interception, he took a double nut shot from a defensive player, which caused that interception. He actually came public and said that. I've never heard Aaron Rodgers make excuses about anything.
No.
Because he's a great quarterback.
There's a lot of problems, though, in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers and the whole sort of...
The management.
...vibe with the Packers.
Yeah, the management part.
Interesting to see how that's playing out here.
Yeah, we'll see. But it was interesting week of football. I'll start giving my football picks. I did run... It was... Out of the seven games that I did put bets on, I won five of them. So I had a good start to the NFL season.
Yeah.
It was really good. Had Aaron Rodgers won, it would have been a lot better. But right. That's okay. I'm not mad at you, Aaron. Just get it together, and you are an incredible quarterback. Get that team together and make sure it all stands together. So I'll start giving picks, and we'll have Anik on too to discuss them also.
I'm not super confident in Green Bay.
No, it's tough. It's tough. You start like that, it's very tough. Another issue too is a lot of the starting players, I think there were like the Rams or Green Bay, what was it, team? I think they had 29 new starting players, or somebody was telling me this.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, it's hard to formulate a team when you have so many new players, no matter how talented those players are.
You got to build that chemistry.
There's no I in team.
Yeah.
Right? There's no I in team. All right, let's get into the world of boxing and UFC and MMA. We all know UFC 266 is coming up. It's an incredible card. It's next week. We'll talk about it more next week. But, you know, listen. It's awesome. We've got, what, two championship fights?
Yep.
Yeah. So you got Shevchenko. You got Ortega coming in, you know, again. We're going to get Brian back. What's the other big fight that weekend?
Nick Diaz returns to fight Robbie Lawler.
Yes,
this is a great card.
Great card. Robbie Lawler and Diaz. It's going to be so awesome. Alex Oliveira, Nico Price. I think that's going to be a really good fight. I'm looking forward to that. And Aspen Ladd and Macy Chasson. Chasson?
Yep. They're fantastic fighters. I've had a chance to call both of their Invicta fights. This is a great fight card.
Actually, I was just naming off fights that were October 2nd. I'm sorry, I had the wrong card here. Okay. I apologize for that.
Well, I mean, you got some of them, right? Like, it is Shevchenko and who's Valentina fighting?
Lauren Murphy.
There it is. Yeah, that fight's at 266, is it not? Yeah, it's at 266.
Yes. No, I'm gonna bring up the card now. And pardon me, listeners. Yeah. I was quoting things from the fight that's gonna happen the following week on October 2nd. So just give me 1 second. Let me bring this up.
No, but it is Brian Ortega and Alexander Volkanovski that is your main event at 266, and then Lawler and Diaz. It's crazy to think that first fight was 15, 16 years ago. Like, what? How is that even possible?
Well, let's give Lawler some credit here in respect to the fact that what he expected. He gives Diaz credit. He goes, Diaz is going to show up in shape. He's going to show up ready to go, and I know that's going to be the case too.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. I think Nick is the type of person that he just won't show up if he can't be 100%. So don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
I think
we know that.
Right. Yes, we definitely do. But here's the thing. Like, it's been so long since he's fought, and you know, the question is Nick Diaz at 100% still the same Nick Diaz that we saw, you know, fight Anderson Silva? I don't know. We're going to find out. We're going to find out very quickly, because you do not want to be less than your perfect self when you're getting in there with the ruthless one, Robbie Lawler. So I'm excited. Like, I know that's a stacked fight card, and there are fights on that card with a lot more, you know, stakes and championship stakes, but this would be the one fight that I want to see the most. If you said, okay, you only get to see one fight, which one is it? For me, it's Lawler and Diaz.
Right. Now, the thing with Lawler and Diaz, I saw Nick at two shows ago. He looked amazing.
Right.
He looks amazing.
I mean, he's always been an athlete and someone that pushes himself, you know, whether he's in fight camp or whether he's just running in triathlons. Like, I'm not worried about Nick Diaz coming in shape. I think he's definitely going to be in shape. But the question is, you know, it's been a while since he's fought. He's approaching, you know, 40 years old. What does Nick Diaz at 100% look like in 2021? And what does he have for Robbie Lawler? You know, that's the big question. And I can't wait to find out.
Can't wait to find out either. I think Robbie Lawler is going to have a lot for Nick, and I think Nick's going to have a lot for Robbie, and I think it could easily be one of the fights of the night, but there's so many fight of the night potentials
right
here.
Yeah.
Roxanne Modafari fighting for the 300th time this year against Talia Santos. Dan Hooker always coming to battle and throw it out.
Dan Hooker. Man, I love watching that kid fight.
I do too. Nasrat Hakparast. So, you know, there's some very good fights here. Looking forward to that. It's going to be a big night, big night in Vegas.
It's International Fight Week.
I won't get there till Friday, but it's International Fight Week. And speaking of the UFC, Conor McGregor back in the news again, being Conor McGregor, throwing a drink at Machine Gun Kelly, or, I mean, this is all, there's all been different reports, or I just saw the video and I'm like, you know, Conor again, I just, you know, I can't say enough how I do respect you, but it's like, how come I'm always reading something like this? Why even throw a drink? Why even let that drink leave your glass? You're at the VMA Awards. You're dressed up. You're classy. Stay classy.
I feel like he's desperate, Bruce.
You think he's trying to be too relevant? Because I'm looking at his Instagram, too. Yeah. I mean, he's doing what he gives his fans, you know, all the information. Sure. They love to hear about Connor and all. But, I mean, is that...
But I feel like he's desperate to keep his name relevant. And this, like, I don't even know if this is relevant, Bruce. Like, when he's getting into these situations that are making you question his character... That's not the same as, you know, being out there and keeping your name in the news. That's like, I understand you've always said, you know, any publicity is good publicity to spell your name right. This isn't good in any way, shape, or form. This is, you know, causing people to actually question, you know, where Connor is mentally and is he, you know, stable.
You're hearing that through the scuttlebutt, through the crowds?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of people have sort of questioned, like, what his decision-making process is to do the things that he's done. You know, going after Poirier post-fight, you know, getting into it with Daniel Cormier. These things just don't make sense. Like, that's not the Conor McGregor that lost to Nate Diaz and handled that defeat so graciously. And to me, made him one of the more admirable fighters in this game. Like, where's that guy?
Where's the class factor is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Where like, is the class
It just doesn't
factor?
Make sense. No. Because I understand that we all change and we all go through different sort of stages and transitions in life, and not every loss is created equal in mixed martial arts. But the guy that lost in the past and did so with class, that guy doesn't seem to be here. And that's a drastic transition from one version of Connor that made him one of the greatest mixed martial artists of all time to the present day Connor, where we're just sort of sitting here going, wait, who's this guy?
Well, you know, along with being relevant and anything in life to be successful, you have to be consistent. So right. If your image is one of class, as I like to think that mine is I try to be consistent because I want to be not just a role model to myself. I have to please myself in what I do. Right. And to be pleasing with myself in the way that I promote or present myself, then I want to be able to judge others. I mean, you can't really judge others until you judge yourself to a certain extent.
And you end the show with this every single time. You know, be a role model to your sphere of influence.
And his sphere is so huge, and that's been one of my biggest complaints. But
when
you talk about, again, consistency, if you're going to be classy, be consistent. But I will say then maybe he is being consistent in what he's doing. So, you know.
I mean, lately, he's being consistent, but it's a different Connor than, you know, we've all seen in the past. And I think that Connor, you know, the one that lost to Nate and handled it well, that Connor, you know, grew into the things that he accomplished after that for good reason, because he did approach things the right way. I don't know what this Connor is or what he's going to be in the future, because right now he's just acting reckless.
Well, you know, Connor and I kind of meet in one other business on the ground that I'm the, you know, founder and partner in Puncher's Chance. And it was funny. Whoever wrote me on social media, I got a few of these. Oh, is it as good as Proper 12? No, Proper 12 is a whiskey. This is a bourbon, right? And then the other person said, the bottles look the same. Does that look like Proper 12 to you?
That looks nothing like a Proper 12 bottle.
Yeah. So I said, hold it up in one hand, get a Proper 12 hold in the other.
Is that person blind?
Pardon me?
Is that person blind?
I don't know. I don't know. You said that item, but I do want to say one thing. Three awards for taste. Three awards for bottle design. Proper 12, I haven't heard of one award. I'm not putting it down. It's a big success. But I'm not comparing the two. I don't compare the two.
You don't need
I compare the two that were in the spirit liquor business, as Dana White is in the business with Howlerhead. You know, his banana-infused bourbon, which I understand is doing very well, too. This is where I come from. I don't have to throw drinks at people. I don't have to curse at people. I don't have to say what the fuck is going on with you. I simply say success breeds competition, and competition breeds success. Conor McGregor, $600 million sale. Dana White, Howlerhead, on his way to success. Puncher's Chance, probably, I estimate, in 5 years will sell for $500 million to $1 billion. I'm telling you right now, put it in your mark. I'm telling you right now, 5 years. Does that matter to me what anybody else does? It matters to me to learn from them. And it matters to me because I love seeing Connor successful. I love seeing everybody successful because that means I have a chance to be successful.
Well, that's the
business
thing
is a good business to be in, period.
Connor's success or Dana's success, even with Howlerhead, like that sets the market for you.
It's the market.
That
sets
right.
And I support them. I support them.
Of course. Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
Unless you put your proper 12 in a glass and throw it at me, then I'm not going to support you. You know, we'll have a whole nother problem.
I mean, why do people cheer against their competitors? It's because they're insecure and they feel generally less than. So they pile on. You don't need to do that.
Nope.
You've got a proven product that, like you said, has won awards, glowing reviews online.
Yes.
Onward and upward, my friend.
Exactly. So, Connor, cheers to you and Proper 12. I wish you all the best. Cheers to Dana. Cheers to everybody in the industry. I want to see people successful. But enjoy that success and handle yourself with class. There you go. Period. Done. And Connor is doing a good job of that. I mean, he is promoting the hell out of Proper 12.
Yeah.
Which he should be. And that's the reason it's been so successful. So kudos and big cheers to you, Connor McGregor. Big cheers to you. Okay. But not when you're throwing glasses of fluid at people. Much less bystanders. You know, you can buy a skateboard infused with Tony Hawk's blood.
I saw that. I don't know if I want that.
I don't know if I want it, but I think that, you know, if you're a Tony Hawk fan, it's actually kind of cool, but it's kind of weird, but it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's a collectible. I don't think anybody's going to buy that board and, you know, grind rails with it or anything like that. But, yeah, I mean, you literally can buy a piece of Tony Hawk.
Exactly. Refresh my memory, TJ. Did we talk about the Holyfield, Belford, and Tito and Anderson?
I mean, a little bit. So the last time that we had talked, it wasn't Holyfield. It was still Oscar De La Hoya.
So we didn't talk since the event took place.
No, we have not talked since the event took place. It took place last Saturday, I believe. So, I mean, there's not much to say here.
No, but let's give it a 5 minutes before we close out the show, because I want to just touch on something.
Yeah.
Jim Lampley was the commentator assigned to that event. He did not work the event that night. He backed out.
Yeah.
Now, the rumor I heard, or what I was informed of, was that when he heard Holyfield took the bout, he didn't want to call the fight with Holyfield at 58 years old stepping into the ring. Right?
I mean, I wouldn't blame him.
I wouldn't blame him. If that's the case, then kudos to you, Jim, because it's a very respectful thing to say. When I watched it, okay, the Anderson Silva-Tito Ortiz fight, which Tito Ortiz, I heard, is saying now that he was hit by an illegal blow.
Yeah, no, he wasn't.
No, he was not. The bottom line is, Tito, is that you got knocked out. I mean, boxing is not your sport. You're a mixed martial artist, although you can do boxing. Anderson Silva is a proven boxer. He already beat Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. Not that he's the greatest boxer in the world at this point in his life, but he beat him and, you know, proved the fact. And then I felt bad for Tito. It's one thing to take a fight. I know you're going to say, why I feel bad for him, but I felt bad for Tito. I mean, look, he's been a friend for years. I've criticized him in some of his moves in the, you know, the political realm and stuff. But I don't want to see anybody go out like that. I don't want to see anybody go out in a minute 40. There's absolutely nothing to be proud of.
So here's the issue, and this is why I didn't feel bad for him. When I saw it initially, Bruce, I was like, man, that sucks. Because Tito is, you know, such a prominent figure in mixed martial arts and the way that the UFC evolved. Like, you have to respect Tito for what he's done and what he's contributed to mixed martial arts. You can't take anything away from him there. But he gets knocked out pretty badly, embarrassed by Anderson Silva. And before the night is over, he's already out there trying to get a fight with Logan Paul. And, you know, I don't understand, you know, why. I mean, I do understand why. It's a money thing. You know, obviously you want to try to get those paydays, but like it just leaves a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. And I don't think anybody really wants to see Tito box. And
not now. You know, nobody's interested in seeing Tito box again.
I don't even think before then anyone wanted to see Tito box. But I will say, as you said, Anderson Silva, he's looking, you know, like a proven commodity here. No, he's not going to be a world champion boxer, but you know, I like him, you know, finding his legs here in boxing. And Dana White brought it up last week about, you know, how we have to really talk about Anderson being the greatest of all time when it comes to combat sports, because we know what he did in mixed martial arts. And now he's, you know, past his prime, but, you know, beating Chavez Jr., that says something. Stopping Tito in less than a minute, that says something. Again, he's not going to be a world champion, but, you know, Anderson taking the right fights that are intriguing, he's going to be competitive. And, you know, Dana said it. I don't think Logan or Jake are going to be calling Anderson Silva anytime soon to try to, you know, put that fight together, because Anderson will knock you out, man.
I agree with you. And, you know, Jake Paul is getting a little too expressive. As I always said, listen, I know Logan. I've met Jake, but I know Logan. We're friends.
Right.
And Logan even said, you know, as I've told you before, he can't control his brother. But let's face it, they are adding and not necessarily changing the face of boxing, but they're adding to it in their own way, maybe changing in certain ways, obviously, with all these exhibition fights now feeding off the popularity of their fights. But Jake Paul is talking very rudely about MMA fighters. Well, I beat four and I did this and I did that. And yeah, Dana was right. Okay, well, I know one fighter, MMA fighter, that you're not even mentioning that is there and he'll probably fight you in a heartbeat, and that's Anderson Silva.
Right.
And then Vitor, after taking out Evander Holyfield, God, it was tough for me to watch that.
The great patriot, Vitor Belfort.
Unbelievable. Trump gets up and says, and you're a great patriot. I started yelling at the screen, he's Brazilian. You know, it's
Yeah.
Oh, God. Millions for what? What the hell did they pay him millions for? I thought the production, and again, Michael did it. Thrillers are, you know, they do a great job. I wasn't very happy with the production quality of the show that night. And I know they had to move it. They went through so much turmoil in that week. But kudos to them for putting it on. Kudos to them.
I'm just curious what, you know, people that paid for it, what they feel they got for their money. Well, because, I mean, the Vitor and Holyfield fight, it was quick. I think Holyfield was sort of saved from himself because he was going to continue to get hurt. Vitor is a different sort of fighter than Evander is at this point. So ultimately, I think what we saw was going to be the outcome eventually. But again, like I don't really have any sort of desire to see Vitor box again.
Vitor, the way he's acting after the fight, you know, and then whoever was with him, his manager, whatever, saying mofo and F this and F.
Right, yeah,
I'm like, God, where's the class factor? Again, we get back to it.
No, that's the promoter. That's I think that was Ryan Kavanaugh.
Oh, that was Ryan saying that?
Yeah.
It just doesn't hit me well, you know. And again, I get, I work with Thriller, okay?
Triller. Triller.
And again, because of Michael, I'm giving him all the kudos for what they're doing.
Right.
But I just would do a couple things a little differently. But you know what? They took a show that got knocked out when De La Hoya got COVID. They moved it literally within a week. It reminds me of the UFC moving from Buffalo to Alabama, like, you know, 25 years ago, which they did in 1 or 2 days. And Thriller, say it again.
Triller.
Triller. I always have a hard time saying it, but Triller.
I mean, it's hard because Triller is not a real word and Thriller
is. It's okay, but, it's getting there. They're doing their job. But kudos to them for moving this whole production over and down to the Hard Rock in Seminole, Florida. And, you know, kudos to them. I have to say, though, when Trump was...
You're a good businessman, Bruce.
I am.
You're a good businessman.
I mean, did I say I am? Sorry, I didn't mean to pat myself on the back, but I like to think
I am. No, but you are. You are. Like, here's the thing. There's obviously a market for this. We've seen that, right?
Yeah,
Big time. And you and I have been complimentary of some of these fights. Like, I liked seeing Roy Jones versus Mike Tyson.
Yeah,
you know,
I enjoyed that.
That was good.
I enjoyed that.
But, I mean, I don't want to see Evander Holyfield fight Mike Tyson. Not after what happened with Vitor. And we see more and more of these spectacle exhibition type of boxing matches. The desire for less than stellar matchups is going to wane. And you're not going to be able to just pump out good pay-per-view numbers every single time you trot out a card because there are so many of them. So if we're going to continue to get offerings, you know, whether it be Triller or another promotion, it's got to be intriguing. Like, you know, we talked to Shannon Briggs and Quentin Jackson. That is an intriguing type of matchup. I would like to see that.
It's also our highest rated video show on YouTube, so obviously there's an interest in it.
Right, of course. And that's the stuff that is going, if you're going to continue to put on things like this, if the combat sports space is going to continue with these types of offerings, there's got to be more meat on the bone than, you know, Vitor versus Evander Holyfield.
Give me Jake Paul versus Anderson Silva. You'll have the biggest pay-per-view ever. I think it would be huge.
Yeah, and they're not going to do that.
Yeah. Okay, well, you know, none of us know what's going to happen until it happens, and that's the way this exhibition boxing is working. So more power to him. Triller, keep it going. Michael enjoys working for you. I enjoy working with you. You've got other big fights coming up. At least they're putting on real boxing matches along with the exhibition boxing matches. They have a lot of fights planned, and that's a very well put together organization. Let's see what their next go is all about. There we go.
Good businessman, Puff.
And a lot of music. A lot of music and the, you know, the rap music and all the people appearing.
Right.
So.
All right, we got
to
go.
Yeah, we got to go. It's time to go. So anyway, we'll be back next week. This weekend is UFC. I will not be in the Octagon this weekend. I'm actually working with Andrew Schultz. I may be heading down, or I think I'm planning on heading down to Austin, Texas on Monday.
Nice.
I'm going to, he's doing his special for TV, and he's
That's great.
On my back. He wants me down there. So I'm going to head on down and enjoy a Monday night with Andrew Schultz. Get all that together, and if you're there at the show, I will see you there. Otherwise, we'll be back next week. Go ahead, TJ.
We got to figure out next week because you're traveling. I'm traveling. I'll be in Vegas. I'm going out there for International Fight Week, so we may have to run a best of. I'm not exactly sure, but you and I will talk. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it all out. Either way, we'll have something, you know, very entertaining for our listeners to listen to. Thank you all for tuning in, and TJ, go ahead and sign off.
Yeah, so follow me on Twitter at TJ DeSantis. Check out Extra Rounds from UFC Fight Pass. It's a show that I do with Pearl Gonzalez. You can find it on Fight Pass proper or the UFC Fight Pass Facebook page. You can also subscribe to the podcast wherever you get podcasts. Just do a search for UFC Fight Pass or Extra Rounds.
Very cool. One last thing. Vitor threw out a $30 million winner-take-all offer to Jake Paul, and Jake Paul's reaction was proper. Let me see the money in an escrow account, then we'll talk.
I don't think they have an issue coming up with that money. I do think, though, that a winner-take-all fight is silly.
I do think it's silly, too. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
All right. But you know what? $30 million cuts a lot of family ties, so we'll see how they put it out there.
That's right. And as long as you got Michael Buffer doing the intro, like, we're all for it.
Got the legendary greatest announcer of all time. Michael Buffer. And
I mean, second best. No offense, Michael. I like Bruce.
Let me put it this way. It's Frank Carreri once said, I've said it before, Michael's like a fine bottle of Bordeaux.
Right.
And I'm like a shot of Jack Daniels. And I love that comparison.
Well, a shot of puncher's chance.
Maybe. Oh, yes. God. That's right. A shot of puncher's chance.
The award-winning puncher's chance.
Yeah, I had to throw that out there. All right, everybody. Have a great week. Enjoy yourselves. TJ, thank you. We'll see you next week, whether it's an old show or a new show. But the bottom line is I will see you at UFC 266. Cannot wait. It's going to be amazing. Have a great week, everybody. Set your goals. Write them down. Learn all about them that you can. So when you step on that golden path to the future of your life, you are the best and performing at the best you can be. Because if you're number one, great. If you're number two, great. If you're number three, great. If you're the champion, great. But if you're doing the best you can be, then you're winning. And that's what we're all about. So keep winning. Stay positive. Believe in yourself. Stay consistent. And by staying consistent, being positive, being a good person, and being classy, you'll always stay relevant. It's not that difficult. It's not that difficult. All right. Big cheers, no fears. See you next week. Buffer out.